Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimix, your host and Director of External Affairs for NCAJ. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our Circle of Leadership members for supporting NCAJ's mission and this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a list of Circle of Leadership firms at the end of the podcast. To find out how your firm can join the Circle, go to ncaj.com/circle. My guest today is David Teddy, who is a partner in the firm Teddy Meekins & Talbert in Shelby. David has been an NCAJ member for 38 years and has served in a variety of leadership roles, including as president in 2013-14. He is also a member of the Steering Committee of North Carolina Lawyers for the Rule of Law. In June at convention, David will reprise his popular Criminal Masters in Advocacy CLE, which has been on hiatus. David is also sponsoring live music at convention, bringing us dance band The Extraordinaires and singer-songwriter Phoenix Mendoza. If you're not registered for convention yet, go right now to ncaj.com/convention-2026 and check out the schedules. Then register and make plans to join us June 24th through 27 in Wilmington. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Amber.
So let's start with North Carolina's Lawyers for the Rule of Law. Plenty of our members are familiar because they have signed the open letter supporting the principles and objectives laid out by the North Carolina Lawyers for the Rule of Law. But for those who don't know, what is this group's purpose and how did it come to be?
We came to be really as a result of a debate that occurred at convention in Charlotte about whether NCAJ should make a public statement what many of our members felt like was an attack on the rule of law, attacks on federal judges, attacks on lawyers because of who they represent. And we just felt like things were getting a little bit out of control and that NCAJ should make a statement. There was a lively debate at the convention as to whether making a statement on this particular issue was in our lane. Lots of members that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, we should not make a public statement. Lots of members that I have a tremendous amount of respect for thought that we should. At the end of the convention, there was a vote. The vote was that NCAJ should not make a public statement about attacks on the rule of law. So what I did is I talked with a number of people that were at the convention that supported NCAJ making the statement. We decided that a statement still needed to be made by lawyers and the legal community. And so we gathered together a group of people that were willing to start a steering committee. And we put the public statement together and we solicited lawyers who might be interested in signing it. We have right now, I think, 873 lawyers that have signed. It's a very nonpartisan group of lawyers, retired judges from different areas of the practice. And we also, after we got those signatures secured, we have now developed our own 501c4 nonprofit. We've got steering committees and we're very active and we're moving beyond just the one public statement that was released recently.
So what are the other issues or topics that this committee wants to take on? Or are people coming to you with needs? Or are you looking at how to chart the course for the committee going forward?
For example, we recently issued a statement on what was happening with the Department of Justice. And I think NCAJ also released a statement about taking prosecutors sort of out of the purview of the state bar. It was a very strange move, we felt like, on the part of the DOJ. And so we issued a public statement against that issue. There are other things that we'll be taking positions on as the issues develop. The other thing that we're doing is we're partnering with similar organizations that have formed in other states to celebrate Law Day, which is May 1 of this year. And it just so happens that the American Bar Association theme for Law Day is the rule of law and the American dream. So we're going to leverage that theme with some issues that we think are important to bring to the public's attention. Be looking for more messaging from North Carolina Lawyers for the Rule of Law between now and May 1st.
Before I came to NCAJ, I worked for the North Carolina Bar Association, and they do a big celebration of Law Day. It was really, it's a dog and pony show, you know, in some ways, but it was really very effective and very sort of moving because they have like kids who are in mock trial and their parents. And then they have like SA award winners from, you know, all over the state come and like members of the Supreme Court are in attendance. I always thought it was one of the better things that NCVA did. So I'm really glad to see that you guys are going to like shine some more attention on Law Day, because I didn't think about it at the time because this predates the current administration. But it really is something that needs to be held up and people need to be reminded of.
We may also put together a plan for lawyers to retake the oath and what we're supposed to be doing in terms of upholding the Constitution, reminding lawyers have an important role to play in the justice system and that we all have an oath to uphold. Lawyers and judges that are very, very important parts of the justice system should not be under attack for doing their job.
So what kind of response have you seen? Obviously, you've had almost 900 lawyers sign on to the letter. What else have you seen in response to it?
We've had really good response. And the steering committee, you know, we took out page ads all across the state. And the steering committee funded that initial campaign to the tune of about $50,000. We are in the process of doing some fundraising to help us with the messaging that's going to happen between now and May 1. And we hope that we're going to be in a position to raise at least $50,000 amongst a wider group of people instead of a very, very small group of people funded the first effort. But we felt like it was very important. The folks that chipped in felt like it was something that needed to be done and that lawyers needed to stand up for what was happening and what continues to happen. We think that our fundraising efforts will be successful between now and May 1. And if anybody wants to help us out, give me a call. We've got 501c4 set up and we have an account. Sonia Pfeiffer is the treasurer and keeping tabs on all the money that we raise. All the money is going to get out the message that you need to stand up for the rule of law.
Great. And let us know, please, if we can pass along any messages or whatever you need to get the word out to our members as well. That's one of your hobbies, I guess, what you do in your downtime. You are also co-chairing Criminal Masters in Advocacy that we'll be doing at convention. And this is the first time that we've had a Criminal Masters program in many years. Do you remember when we last did it?
We've actually had a master's program fairly recently. It's the ultimate checklist seminar that has been on hiatus. Les Robinson and I put together first one back in 2009, which was at, I believe, the Four Seasons Sheraton in Greensboro. It was very, very popular. And then we did it again in 2011 in Charlotte. But it's been 15 years since we did the Ultimate Checklist Seminar. And it's really just a seminar designed to put things in the hands of criminal practitioners that they can take with them to court every day. We handed out laminated checklists for different problems that arise, something that you needed to, you knew the answer, but sometimes it's hard to pull the answer from the archives of your mind. But if you have a checklist in your briefcase, sort of a toolkit that you can take with you into the courtroom for cases that you need to cite, statutes that you need to cite, sentencing charts, things of those nature, just practical checklists that every trial lawyer needs when they walk into either district court or superior court. Les and I are looking forward to bringing new checklists, refining some of the other checklists that we handed out in 2009 and 2011. And we are partnering with Warren Henson and Glenn Girding, who are also involved in criminal CLE at convention. And we think it's going to be a very, very good CLE. And we hope that the criminal bar, NCAJ members in particular, want to participate in it.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have this program back on the schedule. So you have been leading CLEs for NCAJ and dispensing advice, including recently, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, our next leadership program fellows. And that session felt like kind of another sort of checklist that you had in talking to the next leadership. Do you have any like specific bits of advice for recent law school grads and those who are in their first few years of practice?
My first exposure to NCAJ, which was at that time the North Carolina Academy of Trial Lawyers, was when Joe Cheshire came and spoke to our, I think it was our criminal law section or our criminal law class about the organization and about what the organization, what the mission was of the organization. I was just mesmerized by Joe Cheshire, who was a hell of a trial lawyer then, for his entire career has been a hell of a trial lawyer. And it really whet my appetite as a young law student to get involved in the North Carolina Academy of Trial Lawyers, if I was so fortunate as to pass the bar. And I did pass the bar. I joined NCAJ early on and got exposed to some great lawyering. That's the only way to be successful in the practice of law is to watch other good trial lawyers practice their craft. And so my advice to young lawyers is to be a sponge. Don't be afraid to approach older lawyers with questions. Sit through trials, watch trials happen, and it'll rub off on you.
Well, there'll be plenty of opportunity for folks to do that at convention and certainly at Criminal Masters. So you joined NCAJ before you got your license. I think I remember looking at your record. You were probably had taken the bar and were getting ready to get your results back, but you went ahead and joined NCAJ.
I did. And I think that was an option. I don't know if it still is an option, but I think there was a student option back then. And I joined right after listening to Joe Cheshire.
How did you find your way to leadership in NCAJ?
Well, I started going to convention. That's another piece of advice that I would give young lawyers is if you do join NCAJ, make sure you go to convention. That's where you can network. That's where you can learn a tremendous amount about the practice of law and just watch how the organization makes an impact on real people with real problems, both on the civil side and on the criminal side. So I got involved in leadership first. I joined the criminal section, wound up chairing the criminal section. I was membership committee chair. And then eventually I was asked if I would be interested in leading the organization as president. Couldn't believe I was being approached about that. When asked, I said, sure, I'd be happy to serve. So ultimately I became the president of the organization back in, I think it was 2013.
And as you were saying, you found your way into leadership by going to convention to begin with.
Yeah, just making good friends, listening to stories from wonderful trial lawyers, watching wonderful trial lawyers give CLEs, just the camaraderie of the organization. It just felt like every time you went to a convention in particular, you were back with your family. Good times at convention. Good place to network and get plugged in.
How did you become NCAJ's unofficial entertainment booker? When did that start?
When you become NCAJ president, you're supposed to come up with a theme. Phil Bedore's theme, he was the education president. When Brad Bannon was president, I think he was the diversity,
right,
equity, and inclusion president. And I was the good times president. I wish I had had the opportunity to attend convention at Ocean Creek, but I joined when convention had shifted away from Ocean Creek. We were at either Sunset Beach or Wilmington. And I just heard members talk about how much fun Ocean Creek was. And there was loud music. And so I just decided that when I became president, I wanted to be the good times president. And I wanted there always to be music. I sort of have taken upon myself to offer the opportunity, if NCAJ wanted to take me up on it, to sponsor live music at various events, conventions. And so we're doing it again this year.
Yeah, that's great. We're very excited about both of the acts, especially the Extraordinaires. I know Shannon has seen them at a couple of different events and speaks very, very highly.
It's a North Carolina band from Hickory, and they bring it. It's going to be a good show. I think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Cool. We certainly had a great time, you know, the last couple of years in Wilmington and Charlotte, but we definitely had a terrific time in Wilmington, being able to have live music there right on the edge of the boardwalk, right on the edge of the river. I think it'll be really fun, very memorable evening. So tell me, what has being an NCAJ member meant to you personally and professionally over the years?
Well, personally, I have gotten to know some really good lawyers that are good personal friends of mine that I wouldn't have met had I not joined NCAJ. I mean, they're lifelong friends. And from a professional standpoint, I remember the first time I spoke at a CLE, I was nervous as I could be, but I really enjoyed speaking at CLE and sharing information with other lawyers that were hungry for tips on how to be successful in the practice of law. And I had sat, before I spoke, I had sat on the other side of the lectern soaking up all this information. And the information I was getting from these wonderful trial lawyers, I was able to put to practice the very next Monday, leaving a particular CLE. And it made me a better trial lawyer. And it made me more effective with my clients. It improved my outcomes in court. And I've always felt like the best CLE that's out there comes from NCAJ because I've attended CLE that has been owned by other organizations. The NCAJ CLEs were always head and shoulders above the rest. And for me, it was an investment of my time and a little bit of money, but mostly time, that I've been able to get back sevenfold in the practice of law. And the bottom line is, what I do for a living is help people sort of equal the playing field in a courtroom where you have tremendous resources of the state of North Carolina that are lodged against your client. And you want to give them a fair shot, an opportunity to be heard, an opportunity to put the state to their burden of proof. And I've learned how to do that as a result of being exposed to great trial lawyers that have taught me over the years through NCAJ.
Well, we are so glad that what you've given has been given back to you, because you have certainly given a lot to the organization over the years. David, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for all that you do for NCAJ.
Thanks for having me, Amber. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, I want to encourage everybody to sign up for convention this year. It's going to be a really fun time. And if you want to touch base with me about North Carolina Lawyers for the Rule of Law and be involved in the Law Day celebration on May 1, give me a call. My number is 704-487-1234.
All right. Well, we will put that in the show notes so that anybody who wants to can find you. If you are not registered for convention, go right now to ncaj.com/convention-2026. Check out the full schedule, including Criminal Masters in Advocacy, and get yourself registered and make plans to join us in Wilmington, June 24th through 27. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.